Blog Talk Radio.
Real sports guy. People's Radio. It's RSG up in your headphones. Allow me to introduce
the illustrious Sweet Man Boots. Marcus the Game Changer. The Seventh Jackson. D. Will. The Ill Executive. He's like Suge Knight without the anger management issues. Phil T, the sports PhD. This dude is coming at you from all angles. He's got all the bases covered. There's not a whole lot about sports this brother don't know.
Can you dig it, sucker?
Featuring Ray, Justin Page, Eric Hamilton.
RSG fans is like, woo!
Now, I blame it on Nintendo.
It's definitely a gin party around here. Definitely a gin party.
Don't bring any Kool-Aid.
You don't get no better than this, baby.
I want winners.
You guys act like this. Pick it up a little bit. Okay? Get your chin up. Smile. Smile. Anybody can be beat.
Don't get no more realer.
Welcome to the Real Sports Guys, the Real Guys Talk Real Sports, RSG, Renegade Radio. We are in the house in full effect. You listen to Sports Radio Renegades. And before we get into the proceedings this evening, allow me to say you could have been anywhere in the world, but you're here with us, and we appreciate your patronage. As usual, we have a slamming show for you all tonight. All guests and hosts are brought to you by the K&N Superior Airflow, Superior Performance. Check out Carl's story at www.knfilters.com/million. That's M-I-L-L-I-O-N. And learn how he drove a million miles on a K&N filter. K&N, Superior Airflow Filters. Tell him the Real Sports Guy sent you. All right, so K&N will be sponsoring our show tonight. We have a slamming show. Let's get into it. The three-man booth is hot. It's burning up. It's in full effect. Allow me to introduce my man to my right, D. Wills. Holla at the peoples.
Feeling good, man. I'm feeling much better than some of these teams that went down hard. My condolences to the folks of Northern Iowa. It was just a hard fall. So I'm looking forward to just talking about tourney time. It feels like we got so much to cover. It's going to be a great show tonight.
Yeah, there's a lot to cover, man. We got a lot to cover. We're going to talk a lot of tournament. Most of this show is going to be NCAA tournament focused, so just ride with us through that. We'll go through the intro to let them know in a moment. But before we do that, let me bring in my man, 100 grand, Phil T, Sports PhD. What's happening, Captain?
5 foot freak. Shout out to Five Dog. Rest in peace.
Yes.
Absolutely. Now, before we get into it, we usually don't get too deep into hip-hop, but this is a flagship show, so we cover a little bit of everything. Fife Dawg, right, the five-foot assassin, one of the two MCs in a tribe called Quest, one of the most influential groups in hip-hop music, passed away due to complications with his diabetes at the age of 45 last week. just briefly, fellas, what did A Tribe Called Quest mean to you guys?
Yeah,
go ahead, PhD.
The song scenario, to me, represented a shift in hip-hop, where instead of having one dude or perhaps two guys go back and forth, they had a whole crew. I think Wu-Tang really drove home this point like nobody had, you know, ever has. But first there was The Tribe, man, and the song scenario where you had Busta Rhymes coming in doing his thing. But, you know, Q-Tip and Fife Dawg, that song was like my hype song. When I got ready to play football at high school and college, I had a cassette tape in my Casio Walkman, okay? And on every hype tape, there was always Tribe's scenario. So I could go that whole verse by Fife Dawg. I won't, you know, hurt anybody's ears in doing it because that's not my strength, and I'm all about strengths right now. But Fife Dawg, man, he, Tribe Called Quest is just one of those things where it's one of those moments when people who were in groups start dying, like when you were growing up, you listened to them, you know, it's like it really has you question your own mortality. Like, wait a minute, 45? Wow. You know, like we had Biggie and Pac go when we were younger, but you know, those were exceptions. You know, those were like abnormal type of things. But now you're starting to see artists that we grew up with, you know, passing away, man. It hit me kind of hard.
Yeah, Biggie and Pac, they got shot. You know what I mean? Like they got shot. It wasn't like they just kind of were older and got sick or something like that. You know what I mean? So with them, you know, you kind of like, they got shot. But with Fife, I dig it, man. It kind of hit home a little bit. D. Wills, what did Tribe Called Quest mean to you, man?
Well, you know, I'm a little older than y'all, so in a sense, you know, I was growing up through this kind of evolution. You know, I came in early with, you know, the early movement with Curtis Blow, and you know, obviously Run DMC changed things. And then you had this, you know, we talked a little bit about it when Straight Outta Compton came out. You had this whole other movement happening on the West Coast that I don't like to call gangster rap, but I call it reality rap. You know, as Q used to say, you know, we the Black CNN. And then, you know, in college I was beginning to make that turn. And we had this show called Step Into the AM. And we started to then kind of dig into some things, and you start to get, you know, Jungle Brothers started coming through, and people started to flex and flow a little bit differently, and you had this whole kind of alternative movement. You had X-Clan, and they, you know, Leaders of the New School, but Tribe was kind of put it all together, where you can go from Scenario to Anita Applebaum. And, you know, and you like, you know, and when you saw them in video, you're like, who are these cats? And it was just kind of a different flavor and contrast. You know, one of my regrets about what I've done with the show, I was trying to work with Fife's manager because he's a big sports guy. And I was trying to get him on the show. We're going back on Twitter. We couldn't quite get it to work out. And when I heard, and he was on my list of people, I was like, we're gonna make this happen this year, right? And then I heard the news, and I just felt like, you know, in that moment, just like, man, I wish I would have stayed with it, because it would have been just so great to get him in this space talking about sports because he loved it. But they stretched us, right? They stretched us in ways, and in the way they sampled, and just how he and Tip had contrasting styles. But he was kind of always real to his approach. Yeah, man, it's you know, we're in the same age range, so you're talking about diabetes and health, and you know, it really kind of hit home for me because I think I'm battling some of the same things he's battling. So yeah, I think Phil, you put it best when you know when Biggie and Pac died, that was more tragic. It was more it was something. But this is like you know, you start to get into that mode where it's not really natural causes, but it's life and aging, right? And you start to then reflect on where you are. So, you know, it's definitely something I miss, and it's something I wish, you know, even on our platform, it would have been great to have his voice bless our airways. And so it's making me feel like, you know, I can't, if I have an opportunity like that, I'm going to push it again, because we got too many icons. We want to catch them before they, you know, we want to get them while they're here.
Absolutely. And I'll just say my piece for a little bit, and then I'll let it breathe for a moment and get us into the show. You know, I'm younger than you guys. And so being in the Midwest and being of the age that I was, Tribe really wasn't, you know, like I got introduced to hip hop through older folks, cousins, uncles who were playing it around me. And in the Midwest, Tribe wasn't really popping like that. As I began to develop my own taste, I kind of got into them. But, you know, this is around 94, 95, 96. They weren't as the thing then. You know what I mean? And so you started to, that's when, you know, you started to get Biggie and Pac kind of ascending to the top of hip-hop, and then you had the South kind of making a presence. But I always had an appreciation for Tribe. Oh, I know the music. I went back, but I didn't have that. It wasn't like a part of my experience, because the two albums that they dropped when I really started getting into hip-hop were kind of probably, you know, 3 and 4, you know, on their list of, if you got to rank their albums, they're probably at the lower half of their top 5 albums, right? But I do appreciate, because I believe they were a precursor to my favorite group, which is Outkast. And Outkast has a very similar dynamic where you have Big Boy and Andre. Andre was kind of Q-Tip, and Big Boy was kind of Feist. And that similar dynamic, that similar stylistic play of, you know, a guy who's a little bit more street versus a guy who's a little bit more abstract, a little bit more in the clouds, and you had that vibe between the two. So I appreciate Tribe just for that. You know, they were the precursor to what became my favorite group. And in their own right, they stand on their own as one of the best groups in hip-hop history on their own. But that's where, you know, I draw a connection to Tribe and to how they kind of influenced my experience. So RIP to Feist Dawg. He's a renegade for sure, even though we weren't able to get him on the show ever. He definitely did a renegade. With that said, this is a portion of the show is known as the intro to let them know. Tonight, we're going to get into some tourney talk. We're going to reflect on the tournament, talk about all of the upsets, last-second shots. There are so many, whether you want to say comebacks or collapses. You know, you can't have one without the other, in my opinion. So we're going to get into that. We're going to update the Can't Trust Them list. You know, new additions, who's on probation, who's coming off the list this year. We're going to update that. And then we're going to do a little arrow up, arrow down with some prospects and coaches from the tournament who improved their stock, who has our opinion of decreased, right? Who has our opinion of increased? That's what I'm trying to say. And then we're going to talk about the Final Four, and we're going to dig into that. So, fellas, with no further ado, let's jump right in. Again, this edition of the Real Sports Guys brought to you by K&N Superior Airflow. All right, Superior Performance. That's how you get it done. Check out the real. Check them out at knnfilters.com. Check out Carl's story at knnfilters.com/1,000,000. Just MILLION. Learn how Carl drove 1,000,000 miles on just one K&N filter. That's crazy. That's crazy. We just gonna take you 100 miles and run in the night though. All
right. Right.
So let's just get into it, fellas. Tourney reflections, new information. What do we now know after watching this tournament? I'll start with you, D-Wills. Rock on.
Wow, what do we now know? We know that Jim Boeheim has a witch doctor working in the back of his office somewhere that pulled off something crazy. That's one thing we do know. We know it's interesting, this movement around experience in seniors, upperclassmen, this kind of swing where, you know, for a while it was about the youngins, but this has really been this has felt as much for me old school tournament basketball as I probably felt in a long time.
and have appreciated that. We also learned a lot about, you know, coaches' ability to deal with situations. Like there was, you know, more coaching kind of, you know, we'll get into list, you know, how they can impact the situation. I mean, it's incredible losses that we just could not. And we also learned that March Madness still has its magic. You know, we, people talk about, you know, one and dones and all this stuff, but this is like the perfect brand. It doesn't matter who the actors are. It's designed for somebody to step up and do something, and it's done it again. The energy is there. So, you know, I've had the most fun with this tournament, even though, you know, my team I had picking it went out real early. it's probably the most fun I've had watching NCAA tournament basketball.
Yeah, and, you know, shout out to Behan. He pulled one, man. That was good coaching. You know, as a coach and watching that, you know, you had to time it just right. You knew you had that in your back pocket. You didn't know if it was going to work, but you knew if you were going to pull it, you had to pull it at a certain time. You couldn't pull it too soon or if they were going to adjust and, you know, they'd be able to neutralize your run. He pulled it at the right time, and he had a kid get hot. You know, hats off to him. PhD, what are your thoughts on the tournament? New information that you have.
Oh, I have no new information. You know, I think about the movie Brown Sugar, okay, with Tay Diggs and Sanaa Lathan and Mos Def. I think about that movie. There was a song on the soundtrack, something about, you know, I used to love hip hop, something like that. And the song talks about how, you know, just grow with hip hop and knew what to expect. For me in this NCAA, every year it's almost like you go to the same vacation spot, okay, with your wife or your family, whatever, and you have this magic every time you go. And for me, the NCAA tournament, I've always had this magic with this tournament, but this year I didn't have it. This year it was like I'm looking around like, was there a change in management? Like there's something different about this vacation spot. And for me, the reason why it was different was because there were no, you know, 2008 Davidson. Sorry, Flowers family. Like, there was no 2011 VCU. Like, there was no George Mason in 06. No Butler 2010. No Kansas in 88. You know, no Villanova in 85. There was none of that. There was, like, no Cinderella story. And for me, like, that's what I'm waiting for. You know, while I did correctly pick a 3-14 game in the first round, okay, with Virginia going down to Stephen F. Austin, even that didn't feel like a big upset, okay, like a 3-14 would have fell 5-10 years ago. You know, I just, you know, and then Michigan State went down, but the team that beat them lost the next round, so, like, we couldn't even have that whole week to talk about them. So, for me, like, I was kind of missed, like the spark's gone. You know, like I'm sitting at the table with NCAA, like looking at them like, listen, we may need to think about our future. You know, like maybe we need to go on a different deal. Like I'm having this conversation with the NCAA tournament because the spark is just not there anymore.
Wow. And I see your perspective. I can dig your perspective because there wasn't, like, it's blue bloods. For the most part, like Oklahoma's kind of a blue blood, but they're a name program. They're a Power Five conference. You know the brand. You know Oklahoma. You know Blake Griffin went there. They've had names at that school before. And then you got Villanova, who we'll talk about later. We'll give D. Wills a moment to just participate on Villanova in a moment. And then you got North Carolina. And then you got Syracuse. Like, you got Syracuse, who is a very well-known program. They've won national championships recently. They've been to several Final Fours. But I dig that. There wasn't that upstart, right? And that's something that's a flavor that the tournament usually brings, is that, like, there's this program. Like, there wasn't an FGCU who was just, like, playing a funky running gun style
with these weird. There wasn't the personality to this tournament. Like everybody who was kind of winning, we knew. Like, I know you guys. There wasn't that new kid on the block who kind of crashed the party and brought a new flavor to it. So I can understand that. I can understand that a little bit. This tournament was, and that's what that. Just to talk about my bracket for a second, that's one of the reasons I went chalk because I felt like there wasn't like that team. Like I thought Wichita State was going to do that. I thought they were going to be the one to kind of carry that torch a little bit, and they, you know, they faltered. They ran into a good squad, and they wound up losing. But I thought that they might have that capture that magic a little bit. It was hard to predict this year, and you couldn't really see where those teams were in the tournament. The piece of new information I got is, you know, 14 points in 40 seconds ain't safe. You know, as a coach, you chalking that up, man. You know, I'm on the sideline like, where are we going to eat after the game? We got this. 40 seconds. It's a 30-second shot clock. We got this. What could go wrong, right? What could go wrong? All we got to do is get the ball inbounds, right? This is Ben Jacobson from Northern Iowa. All we got to do is get it in. They're going to foul us. We're going to be all right. We hit our free throws. This game is ours, guys. Take care of it. You look up, man, before you know it, man, your guys are throwing the ball to the other team. They act like they ain't never thrown an inbound pass before. They ain't never seen a press. It was unbelievable. I felt bad for Northern Iowa because I stayed up late the night before and watched them ice Texas in the most cold-blood manner possible with a half-court heave. A dude was just – where Jefferson was just like, yeah, got it. And he let it go, and you could see he was like, yeah, that's going in, baby. That's going in, baby. And it went down. And then they come back the next night, and they rolling. It looks like they have it all under control, and then it just went left. It just totally went left. And it went left in a way that I haven't seen a game go left in a long time. I mean, you can't, like LL Cool J said, don't call it a comeback. That was a collapse. Like, they was helping. I mean, they might have had three assists in that comeback. So that's one thing I learned. The other thing I learned from that experience, another thing I learned is you gotta when you inbound it, you gotta have some tricks up your sleeve as far as like running the dude out of bounds, throw it to him, then throw it. You gotta be versatile when you inbound the late in the game because. I don't ever want to be in that situation as a coach where I'm trying to figure out what do I do. I can't even – my guys can't even get the ball in bounds all of a sudden. The other thing I learned is box out. Box out at the end of the game. How many games did we see that were won on last-second tips? Like, really? You guys are Division I college players, and y'all ain't boxing out? You deserve to lose. Iowa one-on-one, Notre Dame one-on-one. I mean, just – come on. Offensive rebounds, tip-ins, you got to buy, especially at the end of a game because the refs are basically going to let you tackle people. I don't care what happens, you make sure your guy, just wrap him up. You know what I mean? Like, it's a brawl under there, and the guys are jumping clean, just tapping the ball back in. That should never happen at the end of a game. So, things I learned, you got to box out, and you got to be diverse with your inbound sets at the end of a game, and you can lose a lead 14 points in 40-some seconds. So those are things I learned from the tournament. I appreciate you guys reflecting with me for a moment. Now we got to revisit the Can't Trust Them list, as we always do after the tournament. So Can't Trust Them list for the listeners out there. You listen to the Real Sports Guys, realsportsguys.com, RSG, Renegade Radio, Can't Trust Them list. These are teams that next year's bracket, can't trust them. Can't trust them. Don't have them going too far. They're going to do you dirty. You're going to have to burn your bracket. All right? So usually some teams that are on this list currently, Villanova was on the list. Duke usually has a spot reserved on the list. Arizona always on the list. Who else? Who else you got on the list?
Syracuse was always on my list.
Syracuse. You know, I've had my Hoyas on probation. You know, my Hoyas have been on probation because they've had some duds. I mean, some cold-blooded duds. Kansas is usually on the list.
Yeah, Gonzaga,
Yeah. So, new addition to the Can't Trust Them list.
Been there.
The entire Big Ten.
You just putting them all in there.
You be missing
the when's the last time a Big Ten team won the championship? I mean, like, we're not going as far back as Michigan State in 2000, are we? Has a Big Ten team won a championship since?
I got to look now.
Michigan, no. They came close a few years ago. Indiana came close 10, 15 years ago. Wisconsin last year, close but no cigar. Ohio State, no. Close but no cigar against, you know, during the olden days. Am I missing
all right,
you? No. Iowa, no. I mean, Maryland, I guess, but they weren't in the Big Ten, so that doesn't count.
Doesn't count.
That was a long time. Rutgers, no. Yeah, I mean, has it really been 16 years since the Big Ten team won? And goodness, I don't even want to think about. Wow, I don't even want to think about who was the team that won before then in the Big Ten. Wow. Yeah, so the entire Big Ten, pretty much.
Putting them all on this. Listen. We may have to get some therapy session with BAC, man. He's taking his Michigan State law hard, man. He threw the whole team under the bus. We might have to get him some counsel.
I told you, man, I'm at that table having that conversation, like, hey, no, this isn't what it used to be.
Hey,
you know,
we both deserve
to be
under the bus.
Yeah, the craziness is Phil T's the one representing us in the RSG Challenge. He's the one up there holding it down, I think. I'm sitting at six, but he might be the only one in the ring up there. So I guess you have the voice.
His state
law got voice this year.
Yeah,
wow,
when he was in state law, it was a wrap for me.
Yeah.
Me too. I mean,
held on
like
for
maybe
a while.
People will laugh at me. I gotta go on the World Wide Web and see how I'm doing here, guys. Huh.
See, I'm gonna have to download jump on the interweb.
I think I'm in first and one though. I'm in first and one. I don't know. I won like 24 of the first 32.
Here you go, here you go.
Aha. Yeah, over.
Aha. G was like, wait, I got one. G was in the back like, hold on.
Aha. Aha.
I'm in first and one. You couldn't let Bill have his moment, man. You couldn't let Bill have his moment.
I can't even find a link to the login. I'm just gonna take your word.
G will have deleted that bad boy.
I mean, about all I can say is about time. We've been carrying you like Barkley in Philadelphia.
Yeah,
he's out there. We're carrying you.
Yeah, the last decade. I mean, really, I'll be honest. The Game Changer's daughter beat me. Man, she was probably, this is probably 10 years ago. And
at least she was like eight. She was like 8 or 9.
Yeah, and she kind of picked rates on the mascots and stuff. And, you know, I mean, it's not like she was winning, but out of 30 teams in the tournament or in our contest, I was like 30th, and she was like 15th, and then she finished, and she was still finished better than me. And so I asked Marcus, I said, man, would you like help her out? He's like, nah, man, they just kind of pick based on mascots. And I was like, okay.
Right? Well, man, listen to the bracket, walk off, just scratch your head, like, okay, all right. I guess. I mean, you sure that's all they did?
So since then, man, like, I put like 5 minutes into my brackets. I mean, honestly, over the last 10 years, I just, you know, boom, just pick. Don't even think about it. And so this year, evidently, I must be doing okay in those two brackets. I'm liking it.
Yeah. So
my final four. Remember one year my final four, the seeds added up to be like 30 or something? Or
yeah. I do remember that. Like, when your seeds are close to your age, that's not good.
Yeah. So to answer your question, Marcus, the team I'm adding this year will be Michigan State, unfortunately. And,
okay.
You know, Michigan State, you know, to me, I feel that a Final Four is almost as good as a championship in nearly any other sport, you know, that we cover. NFL, you know, baseball, whatever it is, like, I think out of all the major sports we cover, coming in second place or even that, you know, coming into the semifinals, I think is more important in college basketball than any other sport. So to that, I say that's why the Coach K's of the world and even Izzo are seen to be such big dogs because they get to that Final Four so much. But really, man, I mean, I haven't went back to analyze the numbers, you know, which I know is surprising, but I almost feel like Michigan State does better when they enter as a 5 seed or a 7 seed versus, you know, half the pundits are picking them to win, like this year. It just feels like in those years, that's when they struggle the most.
Mm-hmm. Everybody sees them coming, right?
Yeah.
Those years where 5 or 7 or 6, you don't really see them coming. That's when they get you. I'm trying to talk myself out of not picking Michigan State ever again, because they hurt me this year, and I was a little upset too. I got over it, but I was a little upset too. PhD.
I'll say this: we talked about this back and forth. It was like Michigan State was having an out of body experience. It wasn't a crash and burn. It was like somebody had, it was like food poisoning. You know, you're going to learn they had food poisoning. It just seemed, you couldn't explain why. So that's why I give Izzo a pass. I'm not going to quite put him on the list, but I can understand why you might feel that way, particularly this year if you knew you had a run. I have two teams I got to put on this. One is still in the Big Ten. Because he got to prove something. You talking about somebody who has not fulfilled a promise is Painter at Purdue. Purdue is on the list. You got 2 7-footers. You got all this stuff. This is not the vision Gene Katie had for the program. You have an opportunity. This is the year you need to make a run. You have the same pressure on you as my man over at Indiana. They seem to rise to it and do what they need to do, at least to show some noise. And y'all, they just bowed out with 2 7-footers. Just get put around. Painter and Purdue, they my new addition, and they're going to have to prove themselves. The other cat, and this is a cat that we kind of get respect over the years. Everybody talked about them almost like Iowa State. Everybody always talked about them, and they fold like wet noodles. And that just don't fit his personality. It's West Virginia. Against you all, man. You got no. How can you come in there with nobody who can actually shoot? Like, you're losing games because you ain't got an offensive player on the floor. Like, what happened to the Nick Van Exels of the world? Like, you can't recruit a Nick. You can't get somebody. Everybody talks about West Virginia and their defense and all this stuff. They get in a tournament, and as soon as they get down and they got a score, they get up against the team, they got any ball handling, they just get crushed. So they new additions on can't trust them. Everybody
the last year,
it killed you.
And last year, West Virginia really struggled. You know, I actually saw them play against Kentucky in the Sweet 16, man. And they got doubled up, I think. I think they lost something like 80-40. It was horrible.
Yes.
And I'm with you with Purdue as well. You know, Painter was on my I don't know list, you know, 4 or 5 years ago when they had Utah Moore, Lewis Jackson, and Juwan Johnson. I mean, they had a really nice squad, and they just would always lose in the second round, man.
Yeah.
I would say, is he overcoaching? But he ain't overcoaching. Like, a couple people on my list, because I think they overcoach. I don't think he overcoaches. I just don't know what's wrong.
Well, here at Purdue, man. You know, I mean, in some ways, that's what Purdue does. You know, like, We used to reward these coaches as being great coaches just because they was around for a long time. Gene Katie, Lou Henson. I mean, these cats had one or two big years, and that was it. And after that, they were just decent in conference play and never did anything on a national tournament. But now our expectations are so different for college coaches, you know, and he's at Purdue, man. I mean, in some ways, you know, to me it's almost like when the Denver Nuggets fired George Karl a few years ago. They were tired of winning 45, 50, 55 games a year. They weren't comfortable with that. Purdue needs to understand what they have and be okay making a tournament, because that's what you are in basketball.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. Like, a Sweet 16's got to be a goal, right? That's got to be a thing. That's got to be something you get excited about. You hit the Sweet 16, success, right? Anything after that,
yep.
House money. The team I'm adding this year, Baylor. Never. I didn't pick them. Never again, bro. Never. Every year, Baylor. Scott Drew has had so much talent come through there. Like, he gets – like a top 100, top 50 kid every single recruiting class. And then he never does anything with them. He never turns them into – like, nobody's ever been like, yeah, dude went to Baylor and got better. Nobody ever says that. Like, you're always looking at dudes at Baylor like, I thought he was going to be better than that.
In uniforms, though.
Right, they got highlighter colored uniforms. That's really hot. And I guess, man, whatever. They can't win no tournament games, so they on the list. So who you sliding over to probationary status, right? That team that you're giving a side at, like, y'all got one more year. Y'all messed this up. Y'all got one more year, and you on the list. You're on the list. Who you got, PhD?
The entire Big Ten for a second time. They have both. Frill, man. I mean,
they got one more year.
I mean, like, how can you be in the Big Ten and not win, you know, a championship? I mean, man, like, I'm just thinking out loud, and forgive me, listeners, I'm putting bad information out there, but we got, what, Indiana in 87, Keith Smart shot. We've got Michigan in 89. And then we got Michigan State in 2000. I mean, I hope I'm not missing anybody. But how are you going to be in the Big Ten in the last, you know, 30 years you don't want three chips? That's a problem. That's a big problem.
Preach. All right, so we got the Big Ten. D. Wills, any probationary team?
I got this arrow going down and up because I couldn't quite move them all the way off the list. But, Jay Wright, I got to give you something. I'm going to move you to probationary status off
no.
the list. Just halfway on. I can't quite let you all the way off because you're going the other way. But I can't quite give you – I can't let you run free.
Be fair, Divine. Be fair, man. Be fair.
I can't let him run free. Now, he did look like Steve Young with the monkey off your back expression when he I love Jay Wright, man. I want to root for him. If we get him on the show, I want to tell him I want to root for him. I love everything about him. That's why I'm so disappointed I can't understand why he doesn't do more with it. But I think this might be a breakthrough year. I think it kind of clicked for him. I love the way his team plays, but I can't quite let him off the list because I feel like I'm going to get disappointed. The team that I'm kind of giving a look at, and we did this over our text messaging, is Virginia. Tony Bennett, and I always kind of felt like this, it's just you're overcoaching. Your players, one thing about it is the power of improvisational play. The closer you get to the Final Four, can your best players break script? Because you're going to be playing against a team that's going to take away your first, maybe second option, and do you have a player or a couple players who could do it? I think he has those players. We've been going back and forth about that. But to get over the top, he's got to be able to do that. And it just people love him. They, you know, they talk about he's the best coach to coach against. But he feels like he should be doing more once he gets to the tournament. So Virginia is on that probationary status. You know, Tony Bennett, I love your father, Jay, but That's where you sit.
But how you make the Elite Eight and you're on probation? I'm just asking.
Yeah.
Because the listeners out there,
yeah.
Well, the listeners out there saying those exact words, D. Will. They made the Elite Eight. How is they on probation?
Because
Virginia.
He's Virginia. He's in the ACC. And this was a Final Four run. This was not a he ain't in Elite Eight status right now. His program, where he's at, where they playing, he's becoming a number one, number two seed. You got to make a serious run. That's just how I feel about it.
But that kind of qualifies as a serious run. Like, you got to the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
Nah, I can't. First of all, it's my list. And second of all,
I'm trying to save you from catching Twitter flack, man. I'm trying to save you from Twitter flack.
Yeah.
You got all these like, Twitter followers.
Like,
they're going to be coming for your head, man.
They're
going to be coming for your head. You ain't making no sense on air.
Hey, at RSG, D. Will. Do what you need to do.
You don't want
to
be the new Skip Bayless.
Big dog.
I don't know, Devon. I tell you what, man. Virginia is in, you know, they're in the top conference in the country, I think. You know, debatably in the top conference. The recruiting ground that they share, you know, they're recruiting the same kids locally, as, you know, North Carolina, Duke, you know, all the kids.
I understand that, but he's constantly ranked in what, the top 10 in the country. He's constantly near the top of there or winning it. They winning it. All that being said, they winning.
Yeah, but Virginia is. Now we're going to go back to what they feel like. Virginia is one of those schools you feel like you see a statistic, you know, Billy Packer, Jim, you know, if you had to guess, Jim Nantz, you'd be asking, you know, what program has the highest winning percentage over the last 4 years? It'd be Virginia, but everybody would be surprised, like, really? You know, I mean, they just don't feel like that type of program yet. And
no,
they
talk about Tony
like
Bennett is one of the best coaches in America. They talk about the program. I mean, every time you hear them talk about them on ESPN or wherever, they loving them. They're at a point right now where they need to break through. They're the place where Ralph Sampson went. They're the place where Odin Polynes went. They ain't slouch. They ain't got a slouch history. People act like they.
Can you
say
a name? Can you say a name from like the mid '90s on? I mean, like you just named
right.
Like two dudes in the '80s. Like
Polynes,
yeah, they was
Ralph Sampson. I mean, give me more.
But
they feel like they are still in the escalator going up. Like it feels like they're still ascending.
It's time to go to the next
level. Like they have not stagnated, in my opinion.
Next year, put your money on them.
This is what I'll say. You can put them on probation. You can put them
on probation.
I said
you on the watch list, didn't I? I said you on the watch list. I didn't say you was in.
But to put it in perspective. Right, but let's put it in perspective, right?
Yeah.
If anybody, but D. Wills, if you ran into a UVA fan and they were calling for Tony Bennett's job, given what this team has done in his tenure, you'd be like, shut up. You can't.
Yeah.
To me, that's the team that needs to be. Like, Jay Wright, you were right for calling for Jay. Putting Villanova, they should have been on the list because – they've been at the top for a long time, right? They've been up at the top for a long time. I mean, through the Big East years, we're going back to the 2000s. Villanova has been relevant, and they have struggled to crack through, and they have consistently disappointed. Right, and as TAZ said, I think Virginia is still on the way up. When they're there for a little bit and they're still not breaking through, then I think – they get some consideration for the list. I'm giving them a pass right now, but you got them on probation. That's your list, all right?
We're going to
move on.
How's that doing, man?
We're going to move on. Because we're going to talk about Tony Bennett in a minute. So I want you to use all your bullets, man. All right? You got to save some in the clip.
And I like Tony Bennett. Now I'm trying to tell you that.
The team that I'm putting on probation is Texas A&M. All right? You're a football school, okay? Football school, I need to see a little bit more. All right, I need to see a little bit more. All right, so I'm just watching, right? You were a 3 seed, kind of came out of nowhere. I just need to see
what this is going to be, because you should have lost to Northern Iowa, to be honest. I should have lost there. So Texas A&M, I'm watching you. The other one is Xavier. Xavier is another program that I just keep an eye on. Chris Mack has been there for a little bit. Xavier's kind of been, again, you might consider him a team that's still on that escalator up, but I'm just watching. I'm just watching. That's all.
I don't know.
I'm watching.
Xavier feels like that feels like a job.
Yeah, that's another one I'm looking at. Yep.
I mean, it almost may be like the VCU job, where, at VCU you had the guy, I forget his name, he went down to Alabama and some other places.
Grant. Anthony Grant.
Yep, and then Shaka came after him. And then you got the job. Now you're like, okay. Xavier had, who's the guy at Ohio State?
Mata, Thad Mata.
They had Mata, then Miller came in, and now Mack is there. And it's kind of like, it was a great job to have because you were overachieving, but then these guys put this program in a certain place, and now the expectation is huge, but you're still Xavier. It's like, wait a minute, like, you have these expectations. And so, I don't know, Xavier, like, what were they, a 2 seed this year?
Yeah.
I don't know. I almost feel like a 2 seed for Xavier is like a huge year.
It is. But then to get a 2 seed and get bounced, not make the Sweet 16, I don't know how I feel about that. You know what I mean? But I hear you. I hear your argument. That's what got it. That's what your 2 seed get to the second weekend, right?
Yeah,
that's kind of the deal, So that's kind of why I got them. I'm just putting them over there. I'm gonna watch you. Yeah, I got my eyes on you. You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying. I got my eyes on. Who's coming off the list? All right, who are we taking off the list going forward? PhD, who's coming off the list?
Villanova, Devon. And I'm gonna yield the rest of my time to you. I'm gonna yield the rest of my time to you so you can have your Andy Reid time of shooting them down. Go right ahead.
I'm not shooting them down. I want to pull him off the list, but you gonna put your stuff on him next year? He might revert back. He gotta give me 2 years.
I'm locking him in till 2029. Okay, I'm giving him a raise.
Wow.
Like, we naming the court after you, everything.
Wow.
He might turn out to be like Peter Guns, man. I love hip hop. Just when you think you're on the right path.
Man, Peter Guns is the spine bag, dog. Like, straight up, no, seriously, that dude's a spine bag. I'm 40. He's like 40, and I just want to be like, dog, grow up. I've never disliked somebody on TV as much as I dislike Peter Guns. Like, dude, you have kids my age. Grow up.
Man, he was on Sway this morning trying to explain it. He was trying to explain it this morning. He tried to sound convincing and humble and everything else, but the TV don't match up. Sway's his voice. Sway couldn't figure out how he could buy it. That's how I feel, man. I'm trying to I want to love it like that, man.
Yeah.
Dang, I can't say it. But I understand now. I'm not gonna put you on that. I understand.
So who you taking off the list, D-Wills? Who you taking off the list?
I've been equally hard on this coach, Roy Williams. And I feel like I'm going to take him. Now, he might retire on me, if his health doesn't get there, but with this team, I thought this team was going to fold like Red News because they have all the characteristics of a team that he would have with fold because they just struggled in a lot of stuff that gave you a sense that they may not have the mental toughness. But I've really been impressed with the way they've been battling through and how he's coached through this.
I'm going to take him off the list, man. I'm going to take him off the list. And that's hard to do because he goes back with me all the way back to Kansas. So, you know, his Kansas sucks been moving with teams. And I feel like, I'm in this rehab program, still trying to work on me, you know, and I feel like I'm making progress, and I'm going to take him off.
Okay.
Wait a minute. So Devon is taking North Carolina off the list?
Yeah.
I just knew he was going to fold this year, man. I just knew it. Did it feel like it? And I just been impressed the way he's got this team playing, man. He find them buttons to push.
Yeah, because to me, I don't see a surefire pro on that roster. I really don't. Like people talk about Bryce Johnson, I don't see it.
Yeah.
I don't see it at all. I mean, he's all right, but he's not real. And Paige is not. I don't see Paige being a player in the league. I don't see a pro. And again, I think this is probably. Yeah, I'm not a Tar Heel aficionado, but this might be the least talented Tar Heel Final Four team ever.
I like Jackson a lot, but you're right. They all got flaws. Bryce is about the only one.
I mean, there's not
I
a
love,
stud.
Man.
It's not a, like they don't have like an Ingram or just a stud. They don't have that stud. Even a Hansborough or Antoine Jameson or somebody like that. They don't have that dude who just like. That dude is a top five pick, and he's why they're this good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's the one thing I'll say about Carolina. The team I'm taking off is the team that they're going to play, and that's Syracuse. And, again, this is another team where they don't have a stud this year. You know, they've had guys who've stepped up at different times, but they don't have that one dude. They don't have a Buddy Hield who you have to be like, that's the guy. We got to stop him. We stop him, we win. You know, I think they've had a consistent of enough run over the last couple of years. You know, obviously last year doesn't count because they didn't make the tournament. But the years that they've been in, they've been consistent enough when they've had talent, when they've had the pieces. They've done well enough where you can kind of say, okay, I might have to take Syracuse off the list, you know, for the time being. We'll see. But they're off the list. I'm letting them off for the moment. I'm letting them off. So, I'm letting them off. So let's take a quick break. We're going to come back, reset, and then we're going to come back with our arrow up, arrow down. All right? So we're going to take a quick break. You listen to the Real Sports Guys, realsportsguys.com, RSG, Renegade Radio. About to drop some sounds on you, a little something like this. Welcome back to the Real Sports Guys, the Real Guys Talk Real Sports, RSG Renegade Radio, back in full effect. This edition of the Real Sports Guys is brought to you by K&N Superior Airflow. For superior performance, make sure you check out our guys at K&N Superior Airflow. Also, while you're there, make sure you check out Carl's story at knfilters.com/million, M-I-L-L-I-O-N, and learn how he drove a million miles on a K&N filter. K&N Air Filters. Tell them the Real Sports Guy sent you. I can't believe old boy drove a million miles, man.
Yeah, what kind of job do you need? Like, what kind of career job do you have where you you drive a million miles at some point?
Uber. He was driving that Uber app. He
I mean, Carl also had to be a Rolling Stone at some point as well. I'm just putting that out there.
Oh, Oh yeah, oh yeah. I mean, a truck driver, maybe just like a wayward spirit. You know what I'm saying? Just like one of those dudes who's just like he's riding, just gets in his van and drives, right? Just drives. Like, where are you going? Somewhere. You know.
Yeah.
I'll get there soon enough.
Yeah.
All right. So make sure you check out K&N Airflow at knnfocus.com/million to check out Carl's story. Big ups to them for sponsoring the show tonight. Greatly appreciate it. Make sure you patronize their business and tell them the Real Sports Guy sent you. Fellas, arrow up, arrow down, a little exercise we do. The tournament is the biggest marketing opportunity for programs, for coaches, for players that there is, in my opinion, in basketball. Like, there's nothing, no bigger stage. Maybe the NBA Finals is the only stage in the sport of basketball where you can create a brand for yourself the way the NCAA tournament does. With that said, you can make or break yourself depending upon how you perform. All eyes are going to be on you, more eyes than have ever been. And if you play poorly, that's what people are going to think. If you play well, that's what people are going to think. We've seen guys become first-round picks off of NCAA performances. We've seen guys fall out of the first round because of NCAA performances. We've seen coaches get fired because of how their teams perform. We've seen coaches get jobs. Speaking of which, the Arkansas Little Rock coach just got the UNLV job today off of them beating Purdue. So, you know, a couple years ago, Andy Enfield from FGCU got the USC job. You know, he goes from FGCU to a Pac-12 team. So, again, it's a make or break for your program, for coaches. So we're going to do a little arrow up, arrow down. I'm going to give you the name of the player. You tell me if he's arrow up or arrow down. We'll give each person a player, and then the other two guys can rebut depending upon what the other person says. So I'm going to start with D. Wills first. D. Wills, you get Chris Dunn. Arrow up or arrow down?
Because he was already, in that top five or six, top three, in a lot of, and so I don't know if his arrow can go any higher, but I would say this is interesting. He's the one I looked at this that his arrow is kind of where it is because he's already one of those kind of top lottery picks. But I would say his arrow is still up. I think one of the things that he needs to really tighten up for me is his three-point shooting. I think as a guard in the league, you got to be able to, you know, this game is played at the three-point line and at the rim. And he's good at getting at the rim. I've watched some film because we're doing some, look at some videos and doing some stuff. He's got to work on his left hand. I think he's shooting like 37% from three-point range. I just think he needs to have a more consistent kind of three game. But he's got the physical skill. He's got like a 6'8 wingspan, 6'4, he got the size. I just would like to see him have a little bit more of a perimeter game in the league because it'll make scoring easier for him. So he doesn't have to work so much for his points. And I think he'd just be good on defense. You know, stuff I was looking at, when you got a 6'8 wingspan, he can get his hand in lanes, get some steals. So I really like him. I think he's going to be a great addition, but he's still got some work to do.
Okay, okay. Any rebuttal, PhD, to D. Wills?
Nope.
Okay. I'm with
give
you
him
on
a break.
That, D. Wills. Okay. I'm with you on that, D. Wills. I don't really see his needle moving one way or the other. I think it's still pointed up. He was a kind of an upward trajectory kind of guy. He's kind of on my short list, you know, I've kind of adopted the Milwaukee Bucks as the team I'm going to root for since I've been in Wisconsin for over 20 years, and just have never really liked the Bucks. They have a group of players that I find interesting and intriguing, and so I find myself watching a lot of Bucks basketball now. So I'm kind of adopting the team. I do have rights being a 20-year resident of Wisconsin, so I do have fan rights. So I'm going to activate those fan rights and start to root for the Bucks. He's on my short list of guys who I think will be good fits with what the Bucks are trying to do. And it's a very short list, but he's on that list of guys who I think would be a good fit with what they have and what they're trying to become. Jaylen Brown, PhD, arrow up, arrow down.
Arrow up. I mean, his NCAA performance aside, I'm a big Quanzo Martin guy. I've seen him develop, You know, like we were at Missouri State at the same time a few years ago, and I saw him develop some guys that had no business of having good careers overseas to being stars overseas. And so now he's kind of in the big leagues. You know, it's been cool to see him develop some guys just in his first year or two out there. I like Brown. You know, 6'7", 6'8". He puts me in the mind of a Latrell Sprewell in terms of what Sprewell looked like in college at Alabama. And, you know, a guy that can attack the rack. His perimeter game at this point to me is suspect, and it's a question of what, like, how are you going to be able to make it work at the next level? You know, I think of a guy named Stanley. Who's the rookie? This is the third time I'm asking you guys for names.
Johnson.
But the rookie
Stanley
of the
Johnson.
Pistons. Yeah, Stanley Johnson. You know, I thought the same thing about him last year. It's like, hey, he's a scorer. He can make things happen in college, but how is that going to translate to the next level? I'll still say arrow up because I think overall it's a fairly weak class for wings this year. So I still see him as a lottery pick.
Okay. Any rebuttals? D. Will.
No, I think you hit it. You know, I wish he would have had a little better showing. You know, this is a kid I like. You know, he was supposed to go to Michigan, decommitted, and then went out to Cal. We lost a couple like that we're talking about here.
Big
and,
Ten, man.
Yeah, something we got to work on that. But I think you hit it right on the head. That was some stuff I'm looking at. You know, working on his handles a little bit more, but his size will allow him some things that that when we talked about Chris, that Chris won't be able to do. I think he can do because of his size will give him some. But there's a lot of guys who got size like his. So, you know, for him to be an elite player in the league, he gonna need to develop his game, or he's gonna be in that mode where he's gonna be that sixth, seventh man on a team if he doesn't work on some of those skills.
Okay. All right, next one is Jacob Pettle, the big man from Utah, 7-footer. I'll take this one. I'm going to go arrow even. I don't think his arrow moved very much. I don't think it went down, but I don't think it went up. I think, you know, to quote Danny Green, he is who we thought he was. He's a mobile big man with pretty good feet, decent rim protector, runs the floor pretty well. Offensively, he's still a bit of a work in progress, has some decent post moves. Doesn't have a perimeter shot right now. This is a guy who will probably wind up playing in the NBA for 10, 12 years. Most of those years will be spent as a backup big. I don't think he'll ever be a star. I think right now he's projected kind of late lottery, early or mid first round, kind of that 11 to 15 range, which I think is where he still will be after how he performed in the tournament. Got Utah to a Sweet 16, I think, right? Utah made the Sweet 16? Let me double-check that. No, they got beat by Gonzaga. But I think, you know, overall, he is what everybody thought he was. I think his arrow remains steady. I think he'll be a marginal, solid role player in the league. If he's your starting five, you got to have a lot around him to cover up some of his weaknesses. If he's your second five-man, then I think they're in good shape. That's my assessment of Jacob Pettle from Utah University. Any rebuttals, fellas?
We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats. We need more dogs.
that's my response to him. My biggest alarm was the beatdown they took from Oregon and then how they played into the tournament. And, you know, I've been reading a lot about this, Jacob, and his competitiveness is something that got my arrow going down. He's averaging about a block a game, which isn't bad, but in college I would figure he would probably be in the 2 to 3 range. I mean, just there's a question about his competitiveness that has got my stock down a little bit on him. Particularly when you think about the coach he played for, Stilviak, who's a fiery guy. I wish he would kind of reflect more of him. My arrow's pointing a little bit down on him, and it may depend on what kind of team he goes to.
All right. Let's go. I'm going to toss this one to D. Wills. Grayson Allen.
You know, I think his arrow's going up, and you're going to be kind of weird why I think his arrow's going up. You know, I usually, you know, I got a lot of friends who are Duke fans, and I call them camp kids because, you know, they have few players who are actually dogs who could be on the hardwood or on the blacktop court, you know, skidding their knee. His arrow is up. I could argue that a little bit more, but I know we ain't got time, but we will argue
never,
the Duke thing.
Like, I've never bought the camp kid thing with Duke. I've never bought it. Like, I've never bought it. Like, I've heard you talk about it, Ray. I mean, Ray argues it very well. Like, I don't buy it with Duke being camp kids. Like I think it's as ignorant as Jalen Rose calling, you know, Jalen Rose, like a 18-year-old Jalen Rose, I get that, but calling Duke's uncle, like Duke players, Uncle Tom's. It's like,
I'm
minute.
Not saying
it's
that. I'm saying they've had some soft stuff, and we can argue about what Coach K gets in terms of calls on the Rose. We can argue a whole other elements that elevate that a little bit for them, but I can push
Let's
back on all that. I can push
do
back
it.
On all that.
Do it.
I'm sticking with my list right now.
Right, bad
I'm not
going
to try and take it off.
Bad as man hit my hand.
And I'll say this, even when their game translates to the league, they don't bring that toughness all the time to the league. I'll get Battier that. They ain't ever been – you have not looked at them cats as guys who are bringing that to the league at all. I don't see it, you know, but maybe you got a point there. I've not seen too many of them cats who are roughing it up. Some of them play tough. They've had a couple of guys who come at you, but ain't nobody who's going to scare you. Name one person who scared you.
Grant Hill.
He don't scare me. I mean, from what I'm talking about, the camp kid stuff, Grant's a nice guy, great player, but I ain't scared of Grant.
Oh, yeah. You was his first 5, 6, 7 years in the league.
No, I
you
wasn't.
Scary
I love
anybody.
Him at Detroit.
Yeah, you
I
was.
Him. I love him at Detroit. But,
see, what are you talking about, scare? Like, I mean, like,
I mean,
I was scared of James Cooter Edwards, but I wasn't worried about him dropping 30.
Look.
Yeah, I was scared of Buda Edwards, but I wasn't worried about him dropping 30 on me.
Yeah, but
yeah,
if you look at UConn team, they had a lot of dogs come out of there that I say are dogs. I think a lot of times Duke gets what I call the VIP treatment. They get the brand. Early Duke teams had that scrap. Some of these teams skated on some real celebrity stuff. Watch them up point. Watch some of the calls they get on the road, watch a lot of other stuff they get. And part of it came out how people might judge Grayson Allen. I think that might be one of the reasons he actually gets drafted a little bit higher because he showed a little bit of pushback and toughness. But that kind of spoiled brat kind of staying ball ain't going my way kind of stuff is what you see.
Okay, I'm going to read off a list. I done pulled up a list of current Duke players in the NBA. 15, 16, current guys in the league. We're going dog on this one. All right? Either he's a dog or he's not. All right? Luau Deng.
Dog.
Not a dog. I like him. I like Luau.
Is he a dog or
he's
not?
He's grown on me.
Yeah. I mean, like, if we.
I'll give him a dog. I'll give Luau a dog.
Man,
Luau
yeah,
a dog.
I mean,
come
we
on.
Don't give him a dog.
I'll give Luau
like,
that.
We only got three
Luau
dogs
that.
In the
like
NBA
him.
Then.
I like him.
Right. Dunleavy.
He ain't a dog. He tough, but he ain't no dog.
How long you been in the NBA?
Yeah,
about,
in the NBA,
like,
but I ain't giving him
yeah,
that. Come
wait,
on,
he's
man.
Right,
come on,
2001,
come on.
I remember him in the 01,
like
02 championship game. So he's been in the
your
league
daddy was a dog.
at least 12 to 13 years, okay?
Yes, yes.
Like, we know a lot of guys who have flamed out after that first or second contract. I mean, you know, you know, is he a cat you want to go into the alley with? No, but 95% of the NBA is not.
But, you know, I mean, like, you got to be tough to stick around that long, man.
Okay, we're gonna keep going.
Yeah, the question.
We're undecided. We're undecided on Dunleavy. Right. There's a little discrepancy on Dunleavy. Gerald Henderson.
He can shoot. That's always gonna keep you in the lead.
Man, we're not talking
That's
about
fine.
Dunleavy no more. Gerald Henderson.
Go ahead. Gerald, nah, he ain't.
Okay. CAC.
Gerald ain't. Come
All
on
right,
now.
Enough said.
I'll concede.
Okay.
Yeah,
Rodney Hood. Young wing from the Utah Jazz, Rodney Hood.
I like Rodney though. I gotta give him that one. He one of the new guys.
Yeah, okay.
I give him that. He took Kobe.
Yeah,
I ain't gonna get mad at him.
Rodney's on. He's got that James
the new breed Duke cats I kinda like though. Rodney one.
But that's what Phil talking about. That's what we talking about.
But keep coming with me.
Next on the list, Kyrie.
Oh, yeah.
I like Kyrie. Kyrie got some softness to him, man. He's mentally soft on this. The whole LeBron thing, he needs to be a little bit stronger, man.
Okay. Now, see, we got a man on the street, PhD. What's going on with that?
He's mentally soft.
The question I want answered is, okay, D. Wills is throwing it out there that Kyrie's the soft one. I'm asking, who's the soft one in this situation? Is LeBron being a little iffy, or is it Kyrie being a little iffy?
Well, so I will say that I'm a LeBron James apologist. You all know that, but I just want to remind you that I am. So I have a huge LeBron James bias. I will say that some of his actions are very questionable. Kyrie, though, man, Kyrie is a cat that reminds me of Isaiah Thomas, where he's the shortest guy on the court often, but he can always get his shot off in the lane. To me, like, I always see this guy as a cat who grew up playing on the streets of New Jersey. You know, like, he is a player. Right. I mean, he is a player, and he can, you know, it's almost like training day. How you want it, Jake? How you want it? No, really, how do you want it? Because Kyrie can give it to you so many different ways. He can give it to you from deep. He can get to the rack. I love to see him distribute the ball more, but he did that before LeBron got there. Like, I think he's playing his role now. So, to me, when we look at over the last 10 years, the number one picks, Kyrie is one that we'll never take a look at and be like, oh, he hasn't performed as what we'd expect a one to be. You know, like, Derrick Rose has done that. Kyrie has done that. But there's been a whole host of others, probably half of that list, that has not. So, to me, like, I don't think we can call Kyrie soft in any way because he's performed and he has not let down. Like, he has showed up and played.
Okay. So far we got Luol Deng is a dog. We're iffy on Dunleavy, no on Gerald Henderson, yes on Rodney Hood, yes on Kyrie. Next one is Tyus Jones. Now, Tyus obviously is a rookie. I think he's a dog because of what I saw in the championship last year. He ain't playing, they ain't winning. All right? He ain't in that game, they ain't winning. Dude has some onions.
Yeah.
And Bo would have retired the next night.
But he reminds me of Christopher Williams, man. He's like Christopher Williams.
See, that's it right there.
You're going off the
80s
light-skin stereotype.
Are you looking at physical attributes? You know, this guy light-skin. What's that got to do with anything? Like, what's that got to do with anything, D? Come on, man. And for the listeners out there, I am not a light-skinned cat, so I'm not, like, trying to, like, defend a whole team. I am, you know, I am dark-skinned, okay? But come on now, D. I mean, you say you like Christopher Williams. Like, that is not Christopher. Okay, it's not.
and he didn't bring up Drake. And you could have just said Drake. People would get that reference. He went back to like a light-skinned dude with Chris Williams.
Come on, man.
Like, he went to patient zero of the light-skinned dude.
Right. So, Right, you know.
I was thinking, Nino walking around the table on.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Nino walking around. The table.
Right,
like,
with the Rottweilers.
Sit down.
With the Rottweilers. I'm going dog on Tyus Jones, man. He still has to prove it in the league, but what he did at Duke, he's still eating the heart of Wisconsin fans right now. He's still eating that heart.
Yeah.
Like, it's still on his plate. He's still eating off that right now. So we can't front on that. Next up is Ryan Kelly. The next one will be interesting. I think there's going to be some debate about the next one. Josh McRoberts.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, I'll stay even on him too. Yeah, I mean, I'll stay even with him.
Okay. All right. Jahlil Okafor.
Bill, you have to be seen. Quit fighting in bars, man. That might give you a little dog, but I don't know.
Right, but still, camp kids. But yeah.
Camp kids.
Yeah,
he camp kids right now. He could grow out.
Yeah.
It ain't like camp kids
okay.
come on good. We're going to talk about has grown out of his camp kid and become a dog. The one we haven't talked about yet.
Jabari.
Excuse me?
There's one
Jabari?
We haven't talked about yet.
Jabari. Is he a camp kid or a dog?
He's still camp kid, man. He ain't there yet.
Nah, man, been watching, man. Jabari's dogging it now. Jabari didn't kind of – he kind of shook off that little scar tissue on that knee, man. He didn't shook that off. That little rust, man.
I need to see another year with it, but I think he's arrow. If we're going arrow up or arrow down, his arrow is up. I like his arrow.
All right. I'm telling you, man, don't sleep on Jabari. I was a little shaky on him too at the beginning of the season. I was like, come on, man, you're supposed to be that dude.
Man. I would say his arrow is heading in the right direction. I'm not gonna hate on him.
The last month and a half, man. I'm telling you,
Devon, your theory is like Swiss cheese so far. You know, like we went through 10 players out of the 16, and, you know, we found one or two that may fit your definition of a
kid. You found one or two.
Or
I found many more than that. You found one
well,
or two.
Well,
you went to Tyus Jones because he looks like Christopher Williams. You both agreed on Gerald Henderson, and you both were kind of like – halfway, we kind of split on Dunleavy. So, really, you got Dunleavy, D-Wheels, you got Dunleavy, you got Henderson. I'm not even counting Tyus Jones for you because that was bad logic. You got Ryan Kelly, and you were waiting to see on McRoberts, and right now you're saying Okafor is still kind of a camp kid, which that's your opinion. But right now,
you got Boozer. You got Boozer, right? He's still in there. Has he retired yet? He, man,
Boozer wasn't no kid, though, man.
Yeah,
Boozer was a second-round pick. Boozer was a second-round pick,
D. Talk to Chicago Bulls fans. Talk to Chicago Bulls fans.
I don't even like the Bulls. I ain't never liked the Bulls.
Man,
I ain't like Boozer.
Boozer. They couldn't even play in the fourth quarter.
I hated the Bulls when they had Mike. I ain't never liked the Bulls,
man. For 6 or 7 straight years, Boozer averaged a double-double. And I'm not talking about 10 points and 11 rebounds. I mean, this cat was like, you know, 17 and 18 and 9 and 10 every night, you know.
Hold on. Would you say Thibodeau is probably one of the toughest coaches in the league, grinders? Coach of the league. Would you say that?
He had an old Boozer, though.
He could have an old Boozer in the fourth quarter.
He didn't have
that wasn't old Boozer. That was Boozer.
When Boozer was in Utah, Boozer was a monster. When he was in Utah, he was a monster. You can't front. You can't front.
I ain't never been a big
He was for Hair Dudes Plus spray painting his own scalp.
I'm sorry.
So here's one that may cause controversy. We got Plumlee. We got two Plumlees, Miles and Mason.
I like them both, especially the one in Brooklyn.
I do too,
I mean, you know, I mean, what they are. Like, they're not You know, the one in Phoenix can shoot it a little bit, but to me, I mean, especially Plumlee kind of got the hometown discount playing with the Olympic team, or not the Olympic team, but the World Championship team a couple, like, last summer, the young, summer before. He showed me a little bit in terms of what he brings to the table defensively and rebounding and being able to finish around the basket.
Listen,
you know.
Listen, if you make your bones in the NBA as a running, jumping, rebounding, shot blocking big, you ain't no punk. Like, they ain't shooting jump shots. Like, they not jump shooters. They running, they pick and roll dunkers. That's what they do. They basically DeAndre Jordan without the extra 5 inches on their verts. But they can get up. Like, they're not stepping out threes.
Y'all reaching.
They're not.
Man, I
y'all
reaching,
man.
I
have you
reaching.
Come on, D-Wiz. Have you watched these dudes play?
Y'all reaching now. Y'all reaching.
I take either one on my team to be,
now,
like, to be in my 7-8-man rotation.
Well, fellas, what I do want to make is, through all this, y'all help me miss my point of what I was going to make my case for Grayson Allen. After all that, I said his stock is up. I like him. I think he's tough. I think that's going to be part of why his stock. He's a great ball player. But I think he got an extra level of competitiveness that I think people are going to sleep on him not taking when they should take him. Yeah, I think when I look at where he's projected on the list, I like his skill set enough to say he might be a little higher, and I don't know why he isn't. His athleticism
all right.
In the gym, he can handle the ball, he can shoot.
So Grayson Allen, arrow up. We're going to move on because I got these next two I want to make sure we get before we turn it over to PAD for the last word. All right?
I mean, I see what you did there, Devon.
I learned how to do it. Tyler Euless, PAD, this one is yours. Tyler Euless. Actually, I'm going to take Tyler Euless. I'm going to give you the next one, PAD. Tyler Euless is, again, this is another guy who's on my short list of guys I'd like to see in the Milwaukee Bucks uniform. Whether they take him in the first round or the second round, I like this dude. I think he's one of those point guards who he's going to win somebody a championship. He's going to hit a clutch basket. He's going to be in your face. He's just got it. When we talk about dogs, dude's got a dog meter that's really high. So I like Tyler Euless. I like his swag. I like his game. I like his demeanor as a point guard. He can shoot. He can put it on the deck. Obviously, his size is going to be a disadvantage at the next level. But I think if he's your backup or if he's a guard that you don't have, you know, that's why I like him for the Bucks. They're playing Giannis at the point. You put Tyler Euless on that team and have him playing off where he can dog the other team's point guard defensively on the perimeter, but you got length around him. I think that could cover up for some of his deficiency. I love Tyler Euless. So my arrow for him is way up. Rebuttals.
I think size is him. I would say the only thing that's going to hurt him is size. I mean, he was player of the year, defensive player of the year. You know, people get all caught up on the 5'9". They're missing a great player. That's the only flaw is height.
Yeah, he's been 5'9" his whole life, and he found a way to be a big contributor on a team last year, Kentucky, that had 7 or 8 guys that were drafted. So, like, I think he'll be just fine.
but NBA teams tend to get caught up in a whole bunch of other stuff that had nothing to do with that. I think that's
the dumb ones.
That's one thing.
The smart ones see through the bull. Again, I hope he winds up on the Bucks, but if he winds up on a Spur, don't say I didn't tell you. So if he winds up a Spur, don't say I didn't tell you. So. last one here. PhD Denzel Valentine.
Arrow up, even after this first-round debacle against Middle Tennessee State. I think in addition to him being a good player, a great college player, and, you know, earning to be a first-team All-American this year, the other big thing that he has going for him is Draymond Green. Draymond Green's success in the NBA the last couple of years without Draymond Green, Denzel Valentine would be a late first-round, second-round pick. But people don't want to make the same mistake that they made on Draymond Green, so I think, therefore, he will be a lottery pick for that reason.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think, again, this is another guy. So, like, Dunn, Euless, Valentine, all on that short list. Buddy Hield is the next dude on that list, and that's pretty much it. Like, those are the dudes that where the Bucks will probably be picking, which is probably 8 to 11. You know, they're probably looking at more like Valentine or Ulis rather than Dunn or Buddy Hield. But if they jump up, I like to see them get one of those four guys. But Valentine is, and again, I think the Draymond effect is real. But I also think Valentine has validated that. Like, in today's NBA, a player like him is extremely valuable. I mean, he could run point for a team like the Bucks, and they would be sick because you got him, you got Giannis, you got Jabari, you got Middleton, and whoever they throw in the center, they're talking about trading Monroe. But if they keep Monroe, you got pretty much 6'6 and above. You talk about length, you know, and what they could do defensively with a group like that. And then all of them play with the ball or off the ball. That'd be a very interesting squad. So I love Denzel Valentine as well, for all the reasons you said. I just hope he doesn't go to a bad team because they think they're going to get Draymond. Not realizing Draymond did go to a team. Draymond was picked later by a good team. And so that means something. That helps.
Be careful.
Oh,
I know,
man.
Right? I don't want to set D wheels off.
This is get on D wheels.
We got about 4 minutes left. We're moving on.
All right, go check your bank.
We got about 4 minutes left. We're gonna hit you with the last word with PhD. I'm gonna play a little sound for you to set this up for you, PhD. Then you hit him with that. Here you go. Just go ahead and hit him with the last word. You got the next couple minutes. Rock out.
So first of all, Devon, yeah, we did get on you tonight, man. Sorry about that. It was not planned or orchestrated. So the last word tonight, I want to go in hard on baseball. Goose Gossage, you know, since the last time we've been on the air, Goose Gossage came out and had some issues about people, quote-unquote, hot-dogging in baseball, and a young star, Bryce Harper, came in. And, you know, or first he made the statements, you know, that, hey, I think this is good for baseball to kind of be more showy and show more emotion. And there's been this, you know, debate over the last week or two that really dominated a slow week of sports headlines right before the NCAA tournament began. And here's my position. We just spent almost a full 90 minutes talking about sports. And not once, and this was not planned, but not once did we talk about opening day baseball coming up, you know, in a mere few days. By the time you listen to this podcast, you know, opening day may have already happened. And so from my perspective, anything that will get more younger and more eyes on baseball, baseball needs to do it. And so a lot of these, you know, old school cats, fundamentalists, you know, want to hold on to what baseball was. You got to change with the times. Or you're going to be left behind. You know, my dad was a kid in the 50s and 60s. Guess what? Baseball was America's pastime. Baseball was in front of basketball. It was in front of football. But now if you look at it, baseball is clearly behind football and basketball in terms of popularity and also kids playing it. So I urge baseball purists, the leadership in baseball, and just fans in general, embrace it. Be okay with change, because if not, you may be out of baseball by the next generation.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Well said, brother.
Well said.
That'll do it.
Well said.
For this edition of Real Sports Guys, realsportsguys.com, RSG, Renegade Radio. We are closing this one out. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another slamming podcast for you all. Make sure you download the podcast and you subscribe through iTunes to the Real Sports Guys. Look us up. Make sure you subscribe. This edition was brought to you by K&N Air Filters. Make sure you check out Carl's story at knnfilters.com/million to learn how Carl drove 1 million miles on one K&N filter. Well, that does it, fellas. We'll be back next week. All you folks out there, update the Can't Trust Them list. Get ready for next year's bracket. Enjoy the final. Catch you on the flip side. Peace.